everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We got a great program for you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to find out who that other disciple was that betrayed our precious Messiah. We want you to stay tuned. You need to get your notebook, and you need to take notes here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because we've got a lot to put on your spiritual plate. But we do know that those of you that study with Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call, you are a hearty bunch, and you love to eat the good things that come from the spiritual table that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, laid out for those that hunger and thirst, that seek after righteousness. Got a announcement tonight to tell you about the second Passover, which will be coming up here in Murphy, North Carolina, at the Mountain Vista Inn. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be a wonderful occasion, if you will, for us to gather there at the Feast of Passover in Murphy, North Carolina. Now, I'd like to give you a number if you would like to make reservations, and I suggest that you do so. There's only 40 beds or rooms that are available there, so get your reservation early, and you can rest assured that you will have a great time with us the second Passover, that is in the month of May. We're going to begin on the 18th at 7:30 p.m. with a meal that will be served for you, along with an old-fashioned foot washing. Praise Yahweh. We always have a beautiful time seeing the saints humble down and wash each other's feet and participate in this occasion as we bring about the death and remembrance. Tonight we're going to talk about the betrayal of that man that we worship, Yahweh, Yeshua in a flesh body. And so that we don't want you to miss anything tonight, so I've got to hurry along as I've got a lot to load up on your plate, as I've said. The telephone number for Mountain Vista Inn, and be sure to tell them that you are attending the feast with us at Murphy, North Carolina. The number is 828-837-8880. Now, that's 828-837-8880. And, of course, their fax number, if you'd like to fax them, you can fax them at 828-837-3034. And their mailing address is Post Office Box 556, Murphy, North Carolina, 28906. Now, again, that's Mountain Vista Inn, Post Office Box 756, Murphy, North Carolina, 28906. It's the beautiful southern Appalachian town in Murphy, North Carolina. You will love it there, and you will enjoy the festival of Passover. So plan to be with us there on that occasion. Now let's get right into the scriptures tonight. We're going to reveal who that other disciple was for the first time. Now, if you studied with us long enough, this is part five. We did a part four last night on WWRB 3.185 around the world, Clear Channel. And tonight we'll do part five. Now, if you like the whole series, it is a five-part series. Last Sunday night, if you listened to us last Sunday night, we told you how that the opposite church, the church that seemed right, was set up by someone that knew the inside integral workings of the apostolic fellowship of the true church. So the mirror church which is the false church, which is a Semite church, was set up especially by a disciple that was involved in the deception of the Messiah. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the astounding evidence and proof is that that disciple would not die until the second appearance of Christ. Now let's get right into the text. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 26, when the Messiah, Yahushua, is brought before the high priest, Caiaphas, in verse 57. And they laid hold on the Messiah, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Now, they were waiting, ladies and gentlemen. This is a planned plot. And there's two men that's been employed to be false witnesses against the Messiah. Of course, there is no mystery, and it's an open revelation that Judas was one of those false witnesses. But have you ever, in your wildest spiritual imagination, thought about who the second witness was? You said, well, Pastor Ben, I didn't even know there was a second witness. Well, that's why we're teaching you here. But Peter, verse 58 of Matthew chapter 26, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now when the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against the Messiah. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is a court of law like you have to have today. You're innocent until proven guilty. In this case, they were going to stack the deck against the Messiah in order to legally put him to death. They needed at least two or three witnesses. Now listen here. They sought false witnesses against the Messiah to put him to death. They sought. That means that they earnestly contended with this situation that they might have the deck stacked, as the old poker players used to say when I used to play poker. They had the ace in the hole, or at least they thought they did. Listen. And they sought false witnesses, and although many false witnesses came, their witnesses couldn't agree. But they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. Now here's the intriguing part of the last part of our mystery tonight in verse 60, the last part. At the last... came two false witnesses. You can reference that to Mark 14:56, and it gives you the same. And they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of Yahweh and to build it back in 3 days. Now that's a terrorist plot. We would call that a terrorist act against the government, if we was to want to bomb the White House, which the temple at that time was the center of worship, or it was the center of government. The Sanhedrin court was employed in that temple. And the high priest arose and said, answerest thou nothing? Because, ladies and gentlemen, he did not answer them a word. Now let's drop down to verse 69 for the sake of time as we hurry along. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with the Messiah in Galilee. But Peter denied. Now here we are. We've got Peter denying. We've got two false witnesses in the courtroom, and this is the intrigue that we're going to investigate and find that other disciple, that false witness, that betrayer, that antichrist, who posed as the Messiah's best friend. Isn't it strange that it's always your best friend that sometimes will do you, and the one you love, the one you put trust in. Now, let's go to John chapter 18, and we're going to start at the 15th verse. And Simon Peter, we're going to pick up out of Matthew 26, we're going to pick up, and Simon Peter followed the Messiah. Now, this is when he was arrested. Now, it says in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, that when the soldiers came, when Judas, the betrayer, one of the betrayers, and we're telling you tonight and proving that there's two instead of one, that in Mark 14:50, the Bible said that when the Messiah was apprehended and arrested and bound and led away, that all of his disciples that were with him fled. But it's obvious right here that after Peter ran away to escape the soldiers, that he followed afar off. And so did another disciple. Now, ladies and gentlemen, isn't this strange? They all forsook him, but they were afraid for their life. You see, the Messiah's going to his funeral. They're fixing to kill the Anointed One, the Lamb of God. They're fixing to brutally attack him, unmercifully treat him evilly until they rip the flesh right off of his skeleton, where that his back is exposed, where his forehead is penetrated with large injected thorns that were driven down by the smiting of rods into his very skull. His brain, all of the natural forces of his very being screamed within him to rebel under the torturous acts of these evil ones who had consented and literally hired two false witnesses to witness against him. You've only heard of one, Judas. This, the one that really done all of the evil, dirty work, is the one I'm going to teach you about tonight, and I'm going to tell you what his identity was. You're going to be shocked. And Simon Peter followed the Messiah, and so did another disciple, and that disciple was known unto the high priest. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever, ever considered that the plot is much deeper and the intrigue and mystery is much greater, that the depth that Satan would reach, that he would actually encourage and recruit the best friend that the Messiah had upon the earth to turn against him? The disciple that the Messiah loved, that other disciple, is the one we're talking about. Trust not in chariots, neither in horses. And vain is the man that puts confidence in the flesh. Yet here's the Messiah, man of like passion. He grew very close to this disciple. The only disciple in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that is spoken about that Christ loved, that showed individual affection for, is this disciple. The other three writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, do not identify this disciple by name, but they call him that other disciple. John, or the gospel that's attributed to John, and again, there is no evidence that John wrote the gospel called John. It's attributed to John, but it's evident as we go over to, and I'll show you that this disciple was known to the high priest. But we're going to go to Acts chapter 4 and prove to you that the high priest did not know Peter, James, or John. Here they are in the fourth chapter as Peter, James, and John were preaching. Verse 2, and being grieved, the chief priests and the people and the captain of the temple of the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through the Messiah, Yahushua, the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on Peter and John and put them in jail, and was to hold them until the next day, for it was eventide. In other words, they were already adjourned in court. They were going to bring them into court the next morning. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. Now, we're talking about a mega revival. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas, the same one that interrogated and convicted the Messiah with the two false witnesses we've been talking about, and I'm going to prove to you that that other disciple was not John the Beloved. Nowhere does it say that John was the Beloved. Nowhere does it say that John knew the high priest. Nowhere does it say the high priest knew John. But it does say that John knew that other disciple, and that other disciple is the only one that wrote about these things in the gospel that we call John. And Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were with the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now remember, Peter and John is preaching Yahweh, the Hebrew God. He wasn't preaching Jesus, I'm sorry to say, as we are reading this in the New Testament. We know that that is an error. And so then we are going to have to re-examine a lot of things in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. And people hate change. Once they have locked into something and believe something, they think if they have to re-believe something or redo something, that it tears down their faith. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't tear it down. It builds or adds to it. And the Bible said to grow in grace. There's a lot of things that I used to believe that now I believe different, simply because maturity and age and spiritual guidance and following the word, seeing and asking for the old path. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, as he began to preach to them. Now, this was, according to Peter, the stone that the builders would reject. The stone is the name of Yahweh. Now, let's go to verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny, that other disciple wasn't ignorant, and he wasn't unlearned, and he was known to the high priest. This man here, who is named John, that other disciple couldn't be John. So we have to look for someone else, and we are going to tell you who he was. And they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with the Messiah, Yahushua. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against him, but they commanded them to go aside out of the council, and they conferred among themselves. Now listen to what they said. They're smart. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, which is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. but that it spread no further. Now, here we go. To prove to you that they were chastising them and whipping them and beating them for the name they were preaching. And the name was Yahweh. They'd never heard of Jesus. The Hebrew boys had never heard of Jesus. This came in 370-some years later, ladies and gentlemen. And this is part of the plot. That a church would raise itself up, and the disciple whom the Messiah loved is an integral part of this false Antichrist church, or anti-Yahweh church is a better way of putting it. But that it spread no further, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth again to no man in this name. And when they called them, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move from here in this chapter here that we're in. We're coming back to dwell on the mystery of that other disciple. Now, we're going over to the 18th chapter of the book, and we're going to examine, but Peter stood at the door and then went in that other disciple who was known to the high priest. He went in with the Messiah. Now, the rest of them fled. They were terrified. Why would this disciple, and it's the one that calls himself that other disciple, he never mentions his name. And ladies and gentlemen, the intrigue is right there for you. And if you are a good spiritual bloodhound, you're going to trail the serpent here. You're going to find out who that snake is. And it's the very one that displayed love for the Messiah. And the Messiah likewise loved this disciple. And the only disciple in the Bible that is known to have the grace and the liberty of having this distinctive honor is the one we were talking about. I'll reveal him to you just in a moment. But Peter stood at the door without, and then went out that other disciple. Here it is. Here's the betrayal. It starts right now, showing you that that disciple that went in to the high priest that was known to him, he was going to meet with the other false witness. Remember, there are two of them now. Now we've got two false witnesses and the Messiah in the courtroom, and Peter out in the courtyard warming himself by another man's fire. Don't get caught, ladies and gentlemen, without the truth. Warm yourself with the truth. Do not warm to tradition and the things that's been taught and these foolish things of tradition. Learn the Bible. Fast and pray. Oh my! Get hungry to be filled with the hidden nuggets, the precious food, the food that's reserved only to them that hunger and thirst. Spend long hours. I encourage you to fast and to pray and to get that which is hidden from the world. To avoid that which seems right and which is only tradition. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a long time to break through the carnal nature of your own self. You've got to defeat yourself. You've got to pray and fast until you break through into the realm of the Spirit. Then went out that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and she sent a party to arrest Peter, just as soon as that other disciple said, Peter's standing out there. Now, that disciple knew that Christ was in there to get killed. This false witness had already agreed to turn state's evidence against the Messiah. And he's now implicating Peter. Get him too. He's here. Get him. And Peter had to deny the Messiah to escape with his life. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the greatest area of intrigue and mystery as we're going to move to the 19th very quickly. Oh, I just wished I had 20 hours to teach on this, but I don't. And it was the preparation of Passover, as it's noted in 19 verse 14, as they said, we are going to kill him on the Passover. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when he saw his mother, now he's on the torture stake. He's on the torture stake now, hanging on the torture stake as they delivered him to be crucified. And here he is. He saw his mother and the disciple. I wonder who that one was. Certainly wasn't Peter, James, and John and the rest of the apostolic disciples. This is that false disciple that was hidden, embedded in the ministry of the Messiah. This is the one the Messiah loved so greatly. This is the very disciple that's going to do him in. Here he is in verse 26 of John 19, when the Messiah saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said unto the disciple that he loved, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Now, wait a minute here. Here's Mary. She's married. She's got family. She leaves her home and her family. Ladies and gentlemen, something wrong here. But it says, and this is John's, the one that we attribute John to write it, but we're going to find out that John didn't write this. That this is given to that other disciple. He said, I know this is true because I wrote him. And that disciple took Mary into his own home. Now, who is the fourth figure in the church of Revelation 17 that worships the Holy Mother and calls her still a virgin when she had children after she had the Messiah? The Messiah was the first child, but she had other sons and daughters after the Messiah. So the Messiah had brothers and sisters related to his mother's side because his father was Yahweh, not Joseph, as everybody assumed. Oh my, how horrible it is to trust in flesh. How so deceived that we are with our own family. And usually it's those of our own household who become our greatest enemies. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen. Now, notice this. Let's go on over to, now, that disciple took her into his home, and from that hour, that disciple. Now, why wasn't he afraid, ladies and gentlemen? The rest of the disciples had fled. Why wasn't he afraid? As we move to the 20th chapter, hurrying along, because I'm already 30 minutes into my message and only have 30 minutes to tell you who that disciple is. We're going to tell you about seven men that went fishing after the death of the Messiah. Now remember, he died. They killed him after he told Mary to behold her son, and the son to behold his mother. And from that hour, Mary entered into the home of that disciple, which is very unusual. She had to leave her home to enter into that home. Now, something is very powerfully and intriguingly mysterious here. That's what we want to give you, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to study. We want you to pray. We want you to be approved. The Bible said to search the scriptures for wherein you think you understand them. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have fasted and prayed over one or two scriptures in the Bible, verses. And each time I fasted and prayed, I got a different revelation. And I have always been led to believe that there is at least seven levels of understanding beneath the written text in your physical Bible. Now, let me repeat that. there are seven levels of depths of understanding. The more spiritually you become, the higher that you have an intrigue of the mysteries of the element by the power that it was written in. These things are written that you might believe. Seven men went fishing and one man on the riverbank or on the lake bank. The seven men fishing. Now the seven represents the completeness of our mystery here. There are seven men. We're going to tell you who they are. But Thomas, one of the 12, he was not present as we start in the 24th verse of chapter 20. And he said, I won't believe till I can feel the nail prints in his hand that's risen up. The disciples said, we've seen him. But here in verse 27, when the doors being shut, the Messiah appeared unto them and said to be unto you, and he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And verse 28, this is the very scripture that'll prove that man that died for you was the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace of Isaiah 9 and 6. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Man that's resurrected in power. They had brutally killed him. Thomas fled. He said, no, he did. He's not up. I wouldn't believe that till I could put my hands. I seen what they done to him. And here he is. Now, let's find out in verse 29 if the Messiah had to correct him that he wasn't Lord and God. And the Messiah said unto him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to believe this, that he was the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, that he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave him power to become the sons of Yah. Now, quickly, after these things, the Messiah showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself, and together were gathered together as they go fishing, Simon Peter, 1, Thomas, 2, the one that we just read about, and Nathanael is 3, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Now, if you count the 2 sons, Peter and Thomas and Nathan, that's 5, and 2, right here, verse 21, verse 2, and 2 other of his disciples. Now, I don't mention who they are, and that's obvious that they're left out for a reason, and that's why we want you to understand that we're going to show you exactly why. And Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing, and of course they all got in the boat, 7 men in a boat. Now, they realize, as this other disciple, now, we're going to verse 7, because they were fishing, and the Messiah is standing on the lake bank, and asked them if they caught anything, and said, well, no, we fished all night, and he caught a thing. And verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And that was a habit back then. They would fish naked because of the little boat and the roughness of the sea. They would get wet and soaked, and so he just pulled his clothes off, and there he was. He was out there fishing. He was a commercial fisherman to start with, and when the Messiah died, he thought he was dead, and he wasn't going to raise up. And here, he cast himself into the sea to hide his nakedness from the Messiah. And it was that other disciple whom the Messiah loved that recognized him. Oh my, here he is now. We know he's in the party. Proof. Yeah. Now we're going to drop down and show you in verse 14 that it's the third time that the Messiah showed himself unto his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Now, and when they had dined, he asked Peter, son of Jonah, thou Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, yea, Yahweh, you know I love you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Again, he said, feed my lambs, or feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because that he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Yahweh, you knowest all things. And thou knowest that I love you. And the Messiah said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily I say unto you. Now he's fixing to tell him how he's going to die. When thou wast young, thou girded thyself and walked whither you wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, meaning he's going to age, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee wherever thou wouldest not. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then, verse 20, ladies and gentlemen, is the intrigue. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which also leaned on his breast at supper in John 13. Remember, we're talking about two deceivers. Remember, Judas went out when he received the sop. Now, this disciple had his feet washed, ladies and gentlemen. This disciple ate and drank with them. And this is the one that's going to betray. The greatest love that the Messiah had for a disciple expressed here, which was the disciples that he loved. And he said, which is he that betrayeth thee? Remember, Judas died after he betrayed the Messiah, went out and hung himself immediately, the Bible said. So he did. Now this other witness that was known to the high priest went into the high priest, turned state's evidence against the Messiah, turned state's evidence against Peter, indicted him, almost got him killed. Here he is. Peter didn't know none of this. He didn't know that that was going on in the courtroom. He didn't know that this disciple was in there ratting on him, as we like to say in slang language of the English. But Peter said to him, what will this man do? And the Messiah said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come. Carry me, if what if I will, if he lives till I come, is what he's saying. What is that to you? Follow me. Now, verse 23. Then went that saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet the Messiah did not say unto him he should not die, but if I will that he live until I come, or tarry. That word tarry there, if you look up in the original Greek, it means exist. Till I come, what is that to thee? Now, verse 24. This is the disciple which testified of these things. That's the one he loved now, ladies and gentlemen. And wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which the Messiah did, of the which, if they should have been written, every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that should be written about him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is my question. If this was that disciple, and if it was not John, who was it? I presented you all of this evidence to point and to demonstrate that it was the disciple whom Christ loved. The only disciple, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible that Christ loved was the one he resurrected from the dead. His name was Lazarus. The only person named in the scriptures whose character and motivation can reasonably fit this other disciple is the identity of Lazarus. Now you say, well, Pastor Buddy, why would Lazarus seek to kill the Messiah to save his own life? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to show you here in the remaining time that we have, and we're going to have to wrap this up as we are moving fast through the time. I'm going to have to go back to the 11th chapter to review for your study benefit. A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. Now, Bethany is 4 miles of Jerusalem, only 4 miles. Remember, he was at Bethany raising Lazarus 10 days before the first Passover, before his death, and the second Passover, and before his resurrection. So now Lazarus being dead, and the Messiah raising him, you know that they hugged and embraced, and all the apostles that were there. And so it disqualified them from being killed in the first Passover, and the Jews dared not to kill him, as it is written in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, as we read chapter 26, verse 1. Now the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed, the Messiah says, to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted how that they might take him by subtlety and to kill him. And they said, verse 5, but they said, not on the feast day. Ladies and gentlemen, they couldn't kill him on the Passover, the first Passover, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now in verse 17, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to the Messiah, saying, where would you that we go to prepare to eat the Passover? They had been declared unclean. They had to ritually, ceremonially cleanse themselves from touching the dead body, according to Numbers chapter 9, which is the law of the second Passover. So then, they got rid of the big crowd of the first Passover, and the Jews didn't have to kill him in front of the big crowd. They killed him when all of the undertakers and all of the people that had touched dead bodies, including the Messiah, who had raised Lazarus, his best friend, his beloved brother, who turned state's evidence against him to save his own life. Now, we're going to prove that to you as we go into the scriptures here, as we're going to find out that they threatened to kill Lazarus also. Now, Let's find out if they did kill him. Or we jump over now unto verse 48 of John chapter 11. And then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. He's raised Lazarus. For if we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said to him, you know nothing, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the high priest that knew that their Messiah was going to have to die, and yet he still ordered the Messiah to be killed because he didn't believe that he was. Now, verse 54. Therefore, the Messiah walked no more openly among the Jews, but went hence into a country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. So they left Jerusalem, being branded unclean in the first Passover, couldn't keep it, went back to the city of Ephraim, which was his hometown, in the wilderness where he loved to go. Reported many times he went to the wilderness. He went back to Ephraim, the city of Ephraim. That's the city of Bethel, ladies and gentlemen, where the name of Yahweh is emblazed and written, and the name of Yahweh is indented in the mountains of Bethel. This was his old home place. He was the kinsman redeemer. Oh my. And, ladies and gentlemen, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Now he has to leave the city and go back to Jerusalem for the ritual of purification after the first Passover. When he was branded unclean, he had to return in the second Passover to go out with those to purify themselves that were branded unclean. And now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if any man knew where that he was, that they should take him. Now we'll go to verse chapter 12 now, and we're going to hurry, as I'm running out of time, I've got to wrap this up, ladies and gentlemen. And then 6 days before the Passover, where he came to Bethany, 4 miles out of Jerusalem, where the Messiah was, where Lazarus was, which had been raised from the dead, Lazarus is that disciple whom he loved. That other disciple whom he loved is the one that turned state's evidence. And the reason why that, according to verse 9, listen here now, and many of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for the Messiah's sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now here is Lazarus becoming a celebrity, whether he wanted to or not. Now, notice what the Jews noticed. They noticed it too. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this man Lazarus knew the high priest. And what they told him, Lazarus, if you don't turn state's evidence against this man, he's a friend of yours, if you don't turn state's evidence, we're going to kill you. Now, I do believe that Lazarus qualifies to be that other disciple who would be living when the Messiah returned the second time, when he, along with the Messiah's mother, started a church that seemed right. They did it in good faith, thinking that they were right, but they were leaning to the flesh. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have got to come to a close on this very important message. Now, we could give you more and more evidence concerning that other disciple and the betrayal of that other disciple. Now, we're quickly going to chapter 13 as we are now looking at the supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, the other betrayer didn't leave that gathering that night. He didn't leave until he followed the Messiah after they arrested him. This is the night he gets arrested. Now, Peter follows afar off. He's out in the courtyard warming himself by this fire. And when they come to arrest him at the urging of that other disciple that the Messiah loved, that went in, that was known to the high priest, what he'd done, he had made a deal with the Sanhedrin court and the high priest to turn state's evidence against his best friend. Oh, my. How it hurts my heart and how it grieves to know that I have been a victim of friendship many times in my life. However, I understand the weakness of the flesh. It is the spirit that is willing. And if we will get our spirit strong, we can overcome the many trials and tribulations and heartaches and disappointments that the flesh has to offer us. Ladies and gentlemen, it took an enormous spirit being to know that his best friend was standing in the courtroom with Judas, giving the final witness, the two false witnesses that came, that stood in the presence of the Messiah. No doubt, Lazarus nor Judas could look him in the eye as they betrayed him. Lazarus doing it to save his life, and Judas is doing it because he loved money. Money and fear is the operation of Satan. Fear has torment. Now, this disciple, who is not dead, ladies and gentlemen, he's alive, and now he's embodied in the largest church in the world. He sits behind the scenes of the papacy, and he directs the direction of this Antichrist system. In his betrayal role, he will be made known in the last days. He will come out of hiding. He will expose himself, ladies and gentlemen, and for this purpose, Pastor Buddy, is ministering to you tonight this final message on the message that we have here, that other disciple. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have done 5 hours on this message. We did 2 previously. We have now done 3 more hours on this message. If you'd like to have the 5-part series of that other disciple, where that you could go through and I give you blow-by-blow account, and I know this is deep, and I know it's hurriedly, and I know that I don't give it justice. Sometime, if you're in the festivals, we can teach on these for 5 or 6 days, ladies and gentlemen. And I can stay on the floor without a Bible ever being opened and preach for hours and hours and hours on these subjects. Not because I'm some great one, but because I have been anointed and chosen and given the gift to teach and show Yahweh's people the great mysteries that are embedded according to Amos chapter 3, where he said, I will not reveal anything to the people except I first reveal it through the prophets. And so there you have 5 hours around the world on this subject on WWCR around the world. If you would like to write me tonight and you would like to request the 5 hours of this series, please send me a love offering. It's very expensive. The mail is expensive. And be considerate and know that we're just a small ministry. We're not a large international ministry. We only have a ministry to a few. If you love the word, if you love the intrigue, if you love mystery, if you love the element of truth, then write for our series, That Other Disciple, and you will be blessed. It will open up your understanding to what Brother Buddy is fixing to start a series on, is a church that was set up by this false disciple. And in that church, he now lives and resides, and it's a great evil spiritual power that is orchestrating the final days of planet Earth's existence, for the time of trouble is at hand for Jacob. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss one scripture that Pastor Buddy, in the 5 hours of teaching, I systematically go through, give you verse by verse, blow by blow, account by account, and then slowly reveal to you the identity of that other disciple, which was Lazarus the betrayer, raised from the dead. Now he doesn't have to die anymore, ladies and gentlemen. He's done fulfilled at once appointed. So then he qualifies. He don't have to die again, and he died to save his life. The Bible said, he that seeketh to save his life will lose it, but he that will be willing to lose his life for my sake will save it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the fear has torment, and Lazarus feared to die again. Oh my, must have been a very traumatic. Did you know that the parable in the Bible that speaks of Lazarus dying? Isn't that an odd parable that individual himself was named Lazarus? And it really reveals to you some of the things that Lazarus had to behold with his eyes. And he was very fearful, no doubt, that death would come upon him again. And so then, he didn't know that he was going to live forever. This curse was pronounced upon him. Ladies and gentlemen, it is paying for his sins right today. He's still paying for his sin, and he's alive on planet Earth. And you'll hear the rest of the story as Pastor Buddy gets into that developing mystery on the church that seems right but is not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can write me for this series of that other disciple. Just simply write your letters and cards. Remember to tuck us in a love offering. And send all you can. We need your help. Send it to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now again, for those of you that's going to write me, specify the program that you heard this on and the station, and that you would like this series, a five-part series. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, you spell New Tazewell, it's two words, NEWTAZEWELL, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live here tonight on the 30th of March. Around the world on WWCR, the transmitting jewel of the South. At area code 423-626-2172. Now again, that is area code 423-626-2172. Now, you can hear Pastor Buddy and Brother Randall the Scott. We'll be on Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WWRB, Clear Channel, around the world on shortwave at 11 o'clock on Friday night, every Friday night with Pastor Buddy and Brother Randall, the Scott. You can hear Pastor Buddy on WWRB on Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, on WWRB 3.185. And then next Sunday night, you can hear Pastor Buddy again on WWCR 5070 around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure being with you tonight. May the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, may he take a liking to you, and may the blessings of Yahweh be upon you as you two, the rock group, you two out of Ireland, the Irish boys, sing about Yahweh.